James chapter 5, patient until Jesus comes. We're looking at some of the texts surrounding our theme verse for this year on prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've been looking at some of the closing encouragement, the last words here in this very practical book of James. James, of course, just 5 chapters. And James writes, he writes about a great many topics and a great many practical aspects of Christianity. Enduring trials joyfully in chapter 1, verse 2, and seeking God for wisdom chapter 1, verse 5, and recognizing God is always good, only and always good. Chapter 1, verse 17, and chapter 2 talking so much about how our faith should be very practical. It should be lived out. True faith is seen in the works that we do. Abraham believed God, and the works were seen thereby because he believed God. And Christianity is to be, as God intended it, very practical. Very practical. Lived out in our daily lives. And as we come to this 5th chapter, we come to verse 7, and we're going to read down through verse 12. James chapter 5, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, stablish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. We seek you to help us to understand it and apply it to our lives. We've seen great encouragement here that the coming of the Lord is near. And we need to be busy serving you and faithful, for soon you will come, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your great love in giving us your Son. We thank you for redeeming us through Christ's blood, washing our sin away. And Lord, we're thankful for what you have prepared in the future for each of your children. I pray that you'd bless this time together today. I yield myself to you, Lord. I recognize that I need you to preach your word. Lord, guide my thoughts. Help me to be led by your Spirit in proclaiming your truth. I pray that each one would receive a blessing from your word by the Holy Spirit in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Be patient until Jesus comes. Last week, we saw just the first 2 points of how we can endure. How can we be patient until Jesus comes? Of course, the word patient has the idea of endurance, such as a runner running with patience the race that is set before them. Keeping their focus on Jesus, their eyes on the prize, staying on the course. And that is what we need to do. You know, the Apostle Paul, as he drew to the end of his life, he said, I have finished the course. We too must stay on track. Be patient until Jesus comes. And so how can we endure life's challenges? How can we endure the hardships and the difficulties of this life, and even particularly of living for Jesus against the flow of this world, against the flow of society? Well, number one, we can endure with expectation. We saw this last week. Endure with expectation. You see, Jesus is coming again. He is coming, and we can, with great anticipation, great expectation, live for Jesus till he returns. It's not only living until he comes, serving, expecting him to come at any time, for indeed, one day he will. One day he will. Notice what it says. It says in verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. But then it gives us an illustration of the farmer, of a gardener, of a husbandman, one who is involved in horticulture, in caring for plants and growing plants. And he says, this husbandman, he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. We too, with expectation, wait for the harvest. We tend those plants. We talked last week about hoeing your row. Stay on track. Keep in your garden that you might have a fruit bearing, might have a crop. Keep tending your garden of your life. So important. And so expectation will help us to endure. How many people would keep planting a garden if last year's completely failed? If year after year there was no harvest, many people would stop gardening. But when we put the work in and we water and we labor there to keep the weeds out, there's a harvest. It's a right expectation. When you live for Jesus, when you plant unto the Spirit, as Galatians 6 verses 8 through 10 taught us about, we will reap if we faint not. That's the promise of God. And so keep hoeing your row, because fruit will come. And suddenly our Lord will come as well. He comes quickly, it says on numerous times in the last chapter of the Bible. Behold, I come quickly. He will come suddenly. He's described there as coming as a thief in the night. Thieves don't usually announce their coming. Our Lord will come in such manner. He will come suddenly. So let's be ready. Let's be faithful. Be patient until he comes. Number two, endure through edification. Endure through edification. We talked a lot about establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. Look at verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. His coming is near, so we need to be grounded. We need to have a good foundation. We need to be established, not fickle. We need to be steady, following God. Following God. The word establish or establish means to make firm, to strengthen, to plant firmly. We must plant firmly our hearts. We talked so much last week of an illustration of building and preparing the site and the input of unseen materials and the construction of the actual foundation and the guarding against erosion. And we too must guard our hearts from the corruptions of this world, from the things that would derail us from doing God's will. Let us simply do His will. Well, that brings us to number three. How can we endure? How is it that God tells us here to be patient and endure until Jesus comes? Well, look at verse 9. Look at what it says. It says, "Grudge not one against another, lest ye be condemned." Grudge not. And so, I put the point into this letter E. Endure with excellency. Endure with excellency. Grudge not, it tells us here. Excellency means to do it right, right? To do it with according to His instructions. And God says, grudge not. You know, Christians ought to live an excellent life. We ought to live an excellent life in this world. My thoughts, as I thought about excellency and living with excellence, I thought about Daniel, who the Bible describes in chapter 6 and verse 3 as having an excellent spirit. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He had such an excellent spirit. He was a good man. He had a testimony. I think of David, who even though Saul's hatred grew for him, the Bible tells us four times in 1 Samuel 18, that David behaved himself wisely. David behaved himself wisely. You know, as we endure through this life, we too ought to have an excellent spirit like Daniel. We ought to have a wise spirit, a wise behavior like David did. And I think of Paul and Silas. Having come to Philippi and helped people, were only beaten and thrown in jail with their feet made fast in the stocks that night in that Philippian prison. And they too, evidently, had an excellent spirit. They endured, listen at this, with excellency. They were not complaining. They were not arguing with the jailer. They were singing and praying at midnight. The Bible says they were praying in Acts 16, verse 25 or so. They were praying and they were singing, and the prisoners heard them. That prison at midnight was filled with the voices of praise to God. Oh, yes. You see, God wants us to have that kind of spirit. Notice what He says in verse 9. He says, "Grudge not one against another, brothers." You know, far too often, brothers in Christ, we're talking here, brethren, grudge one against another. You know, the word grudge literally means to sigh or groan. Oh, there he is. Oh, you know, where there's tensions with brothers. God says here, grudge not one against another. The idea, I'm sure, of not only not hurting one another, but of also not holding that against one another, not holding grudges. God says this is important as we consider the return of Jesus. He's coming soon. As we patiently serve the Lord until the coming of the Lord, it says in verse 9, grudge not one against another, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. It is important for us to be right with our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is essential. This is God's desire. And so we endure with excellency, an excellent spirit. David did not get all bent out of shape because Saul hated him. It was a big trial in David's life. And there were times where David had an opportunity and he could have killed Saul. But that wasn't his spirit. on one occasion, I forget what it was he took. His spear, I believe. He took his spear from Saul. As Saul was tracking him and his army was sleeping there, and Saul was asleep and the watch was asleep, and David snuck up, took his spear. And he went up and he called, "Saul! Saul! Why are you chasing me? Is this yours?" "That's mine. I don't have anything against you. I'm not trying to harm you. I could have killed you. I don't want to." David said, "Why would I lay my hand against God's anointed? I'm going to let God handle this one," David said. "I'm going to rest this in God's hands. I am not going to take up offense against Saul." David, four times in 1 Samuel 18, maybe other places, but I just saw that, and he behaved himself wisely. Oh, we should too. Grudge not. We ought to forgive one another. The idea here of grudge not only literally means to sigh or to groan, and God doesn't want that, but it also has the idea of tension or to be in straits with one another. Obviously, this is contrary to the will of God. His joy and God's pleasure is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so we ought to pursue the love of our brethren. Consider, if you will, I'd like to go over to Romans. Well, hold on. Before we leave here, I want to point this out. "Behold, the judge standeth before the door." There's another reference to the soon return of Jesus, but in a little different light. When Jesus comes, I'm going to give account. I am going to give account to my Lord Jesus Christ. The judge standeth at the door. Any moment he could walk in, he could come through that door, and I will give account to him. Let me take his instructions to love my enemies. Let me take his instructions to do good to those who hate me. Let me take his instructions to overcome evil with good. Let me commit offenses to him who judgeth rightly. Look at Romans 14 now. Romans 14. The scripture reminds us of how we will give account. Look at verse 10 beginning. Romans 14, verse 10. The Bible says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught?" The word "set at naught," that phrase means to set aside. To set aside. To minimize. You know, to set to the side. "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." This is talking about brothers, people who are saved, brothers and sisters, people who are saved. We all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not talking about the unsaved. Yes, their judgment day will come, but we too will give account to God. Look at verse 11. "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord." Oh, this is God's direct saying, right? Of course, in the scripture, it's all God's word, but the emphasis is obviously given, "as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Verse 12, would you read verse 12 with me? "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." This will help us to live with excellency. I want to honor God. I'm accountable. I will give account for the things I say. I will give account for the things I think. Most sins begin in your thoughts. Most violent acts or malicious acts, they first start in the heart. They first start in our thoughts when we hold a grudge. And so, look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. So in other words, let's not go around condemning, looking down at others trying to even the score, play the judge. Let God do that. We all will give account to God. So let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, here's a very practical example. If your brother is grieved with something that you're doing, grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, we ought to make sure that our life is not hindering others' progress, hindering others' growth. It's not a stumbling block in our brother's way. Look at verse 16. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There are some things perhaps we can just let go, some things we can put to the side and say, you know what? That wasn't that important. If that bothers my brother, if that's an offense to my brother, let it go. Let it go. Let that go. He says here for verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now, verse 19 is the last verse I'll read from this passage. Notice what it says. Let us therefore, maybe let's read it together. Go ahead with me. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. God wants us to build up one another. I've mentioned David here behaving himself wisely. You know, if we had time, we could look at the scriptures there in 1 Samuel 18 and see that David was one of the best citizens, one of the best men Saul had. And yet Saul grew in hatred. But David behaved himself wisely. David honored God. We must as well. We must honor God. And so, endure with excellency. Notice here, let's see, we've got one more verse I'd like to tackle here in on this point, back in James. James, our time always goes so quickly, but let's notice, verse 9, grudge not. But now let's go down to verse 12, is a similar theme that I've put under the same point, living excellency, living with excellency. Verse 12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, let your yes be yes, and your nay, nay. Your no, let it be no, lest ye fall into condemnation. Let's just live simple, honest lives, right? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Simple, honest lives. That is the way God wants us to live. We don't need to give some special, unique commitment of I am double dog promising you, you know. Forget the double dog. Did you say yes? Then let your yes mean yes. That's what God is saying. Just a simple, honest life. And so endure with excellency. Let's go to the last point. Number four, and let's find verse 10. Verse 10 here in James chapter 5. Endure with examples. Endure with examples. To be very honest, I don't have time to develop this fully. There's more content here than I can cover. But let's think just for a moment of the examples that God gives us, right here in His Word. Look here at James 5, verse 10. The Bible says, take my brethren, the prophets. Let's take a look at the prophets of God. Notice that. Who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Here we have the Bible giving us an illustration. It says, let's take a look at the servants of God who've gone before us. Let's examine them. Let's see the testimony they had of speaking in the name of God, speaking in the name of the Lord. And they suffered affliction. They're also an example of patience, enduring. Verse 11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We're going to have to look more into this to consider this more fully. But you know what? The book of Hebrews, I'll invite you to turn over there to chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You know that Hebrews chapter 12 follows Hebrews chapter 11, right? And in chapter 11 is a great hall of faith. A great hall of fame. The fame of God's servants who had faith and served the Lord. And then we come to chapter 12 and verse 1, which I believe is referencing that great host, some who are named and many who are not. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, wherefore, or because of this, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Many have gone before us. They have looked for Jesus' return. They have preached in his name. They've lived for Jesus in a sinful world. Noah found grace in the eyes of God in a very wicked day. And he obeyed God and built a boat, a big boat, according to God's prescription. And the world laughed at him. The world scoffed at him. And he essentially was not able to win any of them except his three children and their wives, which is no one, which is not no one. I don't know how you say that, but he won a few. He won a few. His own family. You know what? The examples. We can endure in our day, in this 21st century. Oh, friend, let's not be faint of heart. Let's stay the course. Let's keep serving Jesus. Keep hoeing your row, looking for fruit and Jesus' return. Be patient, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Lord willing, we'll pick up there next time. If you've got spiritual questions, if you need to be saved, we'd love to answer those questions. We'd love to communicate with you. We're here to be a help and a blessing. For all those gathered here as well, we'd love to be a help to you. Father, thank you for the word of God you've given today. And I just pray that you'd help us to let it sink down into our hearts. Oh, Lord, that you would help each of us to draw closer to you and let the Holy Spirit have his perfect will. We sure need your help, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.